know about you, but I came to hear from heaven today. I came to hear from the Lord. How about you? And it's important, just like you prepare yourself. If you're going on the job somewhere, if you're doing something, you prepare yourself to go. You don't just show up, okay? You prepare yourself. And I think it's really important that, we prepare ourselves, too, to receive from the Word of God in church. Amen? In Psalms 115, we've been looking at this particular scripture the last few weeks here as our main text, if you will. And here's our subject, the God of all increase. And in Psalms 115, verse 9, boy, every time I read this chapter and verse, I get so blessed. Amen. But notice verse 9, it says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful to us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Aaron, or he will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. Can I have an amen? Amen. I said, the first part of the month of January that I was praying about this, and I felt like in December, mid-December, that the Lord had a theme for this year and that He wants to bring increase into our lives. Amen? And it's important for us to realize that God wants you to increase in every single... He wants you to increase in your wisdom. He wants you to increase in your influence. He wants you to increase in your health and your body. He wants you to increase financially. And He wants to increase you in every respect. Amen? But here's the thing, that we have to look to the Lord to be able to do that. Now, what we're talking about today in particular is how do we bring increase into our lives in these particular areas? Okay? It's a good question, isn't it? Now, notice in these verses of Scripture that he starts out by saying, Israel, house of Aaron, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Remember that? And there's three times that he mentions the word trust. Trust, trust, trust. But then you go down to verse 14, it says the Lord will increase you more and more. He'll increase you. Amen? You know, I really believe with all of my heart that we ought to be healthier this time next year than we are this right now. I believe with all of my heart we ought to be richer. Amen? We ought to have more wealth than we did a year from now. Amen? I believe with all of my heart that God wants to increase us in every single area of our lives. Amen? Now, it baffles me sometimes how some believers will fight you against this. They say, well, Pastor, you know, I just believe in, you know, that I can have enough for me and my wife, my two kids, us four, and no more, you know, as people say. And they sound humble when they say that. Just give me enough for me and mine, and that's enough. Well, actually, that's one of the most selfish prayers a person could pray. Because if you just have enough for yourself, how are you going to be a blessing to someone else? Well, you know, and I know it's absolutely impossible. See, the Bible talks about my cup runneth over in Psalm 23. Amen? And see, that's why the devil doesn't want you to hear these kinds of things. That's why he fights tooth and toenail, if you will, to keep Christians away from the word of increase. Amen? Now, the Bible says the prosperity of a fool will destroy him. So you don't have to be a fool. Amen? You can have stuff, but not let have stuff have you. See, the Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not money. It's the love of money. Amen. Why do you think you walk into a convenience store and you see the line backed up with people buying lottery tickets? Amen? And sometimes it's the same people over and over. Get back in there. Now, I'm not preaching that you never do that. Okay? Don't misunderstand me. But if we're trusting in the lottery to make us rich. I had a guy one time come to me years ago. He said, Pastor, I'm playing the lottery. And I mean, at that time, it was way in the millions, multi-millions. He goes, I'm telling you, if I win, you're going to get a big chunk of that in your church. And I looked at him, I'm thinking, now you don't say everything that you feel led that you're. I thought, mister, you're not giving now. What makes me think, you know what I'm saying? If you're not giving what you have now, there ain't no way you're going to give when you get a big lump sum of money from the lottery, okay? Well, needless to say, that never happened and never showed up, okay? But see, people mean well. They mean well. You know, well, when that thing comes in, dear God, you know? But see, God is looking for us to, that's why the lottery is a hit and miss thing, because God's not into missing and hitting. There's more losers than there are winners. But let me tell you something. The percentage of someone winning the lottery at any level is so low. It's so low percentage-wise. But when you give to the gospel and the kingdom of God, the likelihood of that coming back to you is 100%. I mean, there's no lottery that says if you play, you will win, as everybody would do it. Are you with me now? But part of that is a trust thing, because people, the Bible says, don't trust in riches, but we are to trust in the living God. Okay? And that's why some people are so sad and so upset and even angry sometimes, because they're comparing themselves to other people when, listen, God wants to bless you and your family. In your situation, right where you're at right now. And you don't have to have the best job in the world for God to bless you. God can bless you through other means. Okay? And so, here's what I wanted to say here is this. He uses the word trust three times. But note, here's what I saw this when I was studying this. Notice the connection between trust and then God bringing increase. That's what I want to talk a little bit more about today. We tapped into it last week a little bit. But I don't think we got through. Amen? And so, say the word trust.
Trust.
Okay? God wants us to trust Him in 2016. We're only in February. But He wants us to trust, and He wants our roots to go down deep on the inside of us to God, to trust Him for the things that we need. Physical things, spiritual things, relational things. God wants us to trust Him. And when we trust Him, we are in the best place that we can possibly be. You know, the Lord brought it to my remembrance, and just with the inward witness, He showed me this. He said, Keith, it's impossible to be depressed. Let's say today, what is today? The seventh day of February, right? All right, let's apply this to all of us right now. It's impossible for you and for me to be depressed today about anything if we're trusting God. It's impossible to be depressed if we trust the Lord. Because if we're trusting the Lord, we're looking to Him and we're not looking to man. That's why the Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You ever put confidence in man before and they let you down? I mean, even yourself, you're a person, right? You can let your own self down. But there's one thing about God that I love so much about Him. He is faithful and He will never let you down if you trust Him. And that's what I want to talk about, how to get to that place today. Now, last week I took up the word trust in the Webster's original 1828 dictionary. You know, Noah Webster was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and very smart man. And all of his words that he uses in that particular dictionary, in fact, you can get it online for free, actually. And if you look up those words, every single word, he has a scripture attached to it. Okay? Now, it's come a long way since then, right? Yeah. And they've taken out all the verses and so forth. But the original 1820... I looked up the word trust, okay? So I looked it up, and here's what it said, and I showed you this last week. Trust means this, right out of Webster, says, confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person. Now, I'll say that again. Trust means this, a confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity. That's God's a man. He's not a man that he should lie. The integrity, the veracity, the justice, the friendship, or another sound principle of another person. And he uses the phrase here, he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. Proverbs 29. He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. Now, I know sometimes when you talk to folks and you share these things, it seems like an impossible task because you're thinking, all right, your word says that your Bible says I am to trust the Lord. How do I do that? How do I keep myself from being shaken? Okay? In the last few weeks or the last month, have you had some kind of thought coming at you that is meant to shake you? Sure, sure. All right, we're going to deal with that this morning because God wouldn't tell us to trust Him when it's impossible for us to do that. Amen? And I'm telling you, God has brought many of us here in this room. He's brought you through many of things that were bad at the time. And at the time, you didn't know how you were going to get through it. It could have been anything that you were dealing with. But somehow, God brought you through, didn't He? And you're sitting here today as a result of that. Amen. God kept you. He kept you. Amen. Amen? Now, let's go to Matthew here for a second here. I just feel led to do this. But Matthew chapter 14. Oh, glory to God. Matthew chapter 14. And we'll pick up in verse, I believe, 22. That's Matthew 14, 22. And let's talk about this trust issue. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, here we go. You ready? Notice this, verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, next verse. He sent the multitude, he went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Next verse. But when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them walking on the sea. You notice they walked on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. Spirit means ghost, right? Casper, whatever, you know. It says, it is a ghost, and they cried out with fear. Now, hold that verse right there for a minute, okay? Now, you know, today, just like any other time in history, there are superstitions, and I did some study and research on this. You know how today people have superstitions about black cats and ladders and breaking mirrors and all this kind of stuff, superstitions, right? Well, they're not true unless you believe it, okay? But there are fishermen superstitions because most of these guys were fishermen before Jesus called them. And one of the superstitions that was back then was if you're ever out on the lake and you see a ghost on the water, that meant within seconds you're about to die. And that's pretty interesting, huh? Can you imagine those disciples white-knuckled grabbing onto that boat? Oh, God. And the actual Greek says that they shrieked with fear. They were beside themselves. And this is about 3 a.m. They're on the it's dark out, cold out there, okay? And they see this, they didn't know it was Jesus, this spirit walking on the water. And they shrieked out with fear. And they cried out with fear. Now, look at verse 27. It says this. But straightway, that means right away, Jesus spake unto them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And I'll just hold that right there. Okay, now, they're in a spirit of fear has overtaken them. Fright has overtaken them. They're beside themselves, these 12 disciples, okay, inside this boat. Can you imagine seeing that? They're freaking out, as we would say. They're shrieking with fear. They're just overcome with fear, you know. I hope I get to see a rerun of that in heaven. I think we will, you know, and just to see. But here they are in their boat. Here you are in your house, wherever you're at, and something happens that freaks you out, and a spirit of fear just goes, whoa, we're going to overtake you. But what happens? Jesus spoke to them in the midst of that fear, and he says, be of good cheer. In other words, get happy. When Jesus said, be of good cheer, we King James that, we said, be of good cheer. But actually, the way we would translate is, get happy. Get happy. Put a smile on your face. Amen. They started singing that happy song. Amen. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Jesus said to them, he addressed their fears right face. I mean, he didn't point any qualms about this. I mean, he addressed it in their face. And he says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Okay, the next verse in 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, or if it's you, bid me to come to thee on the water. All right? Oh, what's Jesus going to say? No, it's not me, right? Of course it's him. Look at the next verse. And he said, now here's Jesus, he said one word, come. That's what Jesus said to Peter, right? And we're talking about dealing with this thing about trust, how to trust the Lord and have you walk completely through. And it says, come. And Peter, when he was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We'll hold that thought right there. Now, how many of you know, how many think Peter walked on the water? Nope. Trick question. He walked on the Word. Because prior to that Word, if he would have put his foot out there, he would have sunk. Okay? On any given day before that Word was given, none of those disciples could have walked on the water. But when Jesus gave the command and Jesus gave the Word, that was a foundation for him to walk above the water. Amen? Amen. And so Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Next verse. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. The next verse. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of this little faith. Say little faith. Wherefore did you doubt? Okay. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Praise God. You know, I this is not a fictitious thing. This was a real day in the life of Jesus and the disciples. This actually happened. This is not fiction. Okay? This actually took place. It actually happened. Okay? But there's some things that we can glean from this, not just as a historical thing and to glean from it, to refer to it. Oh, yeah, Peter walked on the water and so forth. Yeah, that's in Matthew chapter 14. But there's a deeper meaning in this, is how does this affect you and me today? How does this impact us today? Now, it's interesting because in the Bible, you know, not only are their successes written down, but their failures are written down as well. How would you like to have a book for the whole world to see that named your successes as well as your failures? Mm-hmm. Look at David in the Bible that committed sin with Bathsheba and had her husband killed to cover up the sin. And the whole world knows about that today. And yet, David was a man after God's heart. Hallelujah. And so Peter, he had a problem prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he had a problem with his mouth. He had a problem with his mouth. He was quick-tempered. You know, he's a rugged fisherman. And so you always find him opening up his mouth. When they were on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah paired with Jesus, Peter spoke up and said, "Hey, let's build us three tabernacles." And then a voice come out of heaven and shook that place. And they said, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." Amen. And Peter is always opening up his mouth. But in this case, when he opened his mouth, he said, "Lord, if it's you, you know, bid me to come to you. You know, have me come down in the water and walk to you." And all he said was, "Come." So Peter steps out of the boat. Never did that before. And all his fishing, years of fishing experience, even with his dad and so forth, that he grew up around the lake. Never had did this before. But this happened, there's a first time for everything, amen? And so Peter stepped out. And all the 11 disciples are sitting in the boat. Do you know any one of them could have got up and walked? Any one of them, but only one out of 12 stood up and said, "Okay, we'll do that." So Peter started walking on the water. Now stop and think about that. He's walking on top of the water, going to Jesus. And let's just say Jesus was maybe from here to the back of this room. Okay, say 15, 20 feet. All right. And so you don't leap, you have to walk. Jesus stood there and Peter began to walk to him. That something happened in the process that got him veered off in a different direction that caused him to start to sink. Okay? And I saw this in my spirit early this morning when I was praying about this, is that Peter's focus got off of the thing that was causing him to stay above. The very thing that was keeping him above the water. He got his focus off of that when he got his eyes on the wind and on the waves. Now, you can't see the wind, but the wind will produce waves. Okay? Now, how many of you know that you can't walk on the water on a calm day? So the wind and the waves had nothing to do with it. Amen? That had absolutely nothing to do with it. But see, the devil is a master of distraction. Amen? And we need to harness the powers of concentration as believers instead of being so easily distracted. Amen? You could be in a service sometimes. Somebody gets up to go use the restroom and it breaks your attention like that. Well, that's, you know, not a big deal. But if we harness the powers of concentration and focus, we can stay keep our minds focused on Him. Our Bible says He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is, Isaiah 26:3. God will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on Him and trust in Him. Look it up, Isaiah 26:3. Yeah. Amen. Now, when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was stepping out, as I said, on the Word of God. And he did something that no one else ever did before. He's walking on the water. Can you imagine what the rush of adrenaline that's going through him? And even the disciples, I mean, their eyes probably look like olives on the end of toothpicks. Look at that. Right? I'm trying to paint a picture here. And Peter's walking. He's walking on the water. He's looking to Jesus. All of a sudden, he heard splash. And he looked over and he saw this wave coming at him. Okay? He don't have a surfboard. All right? And the devil's in the waves. The devil's in the waves. The devil is in the distractions. And that's why he does everything he can to distract you from the Word of God. I'm sure even this morning when you got up, the devil tried to distract you from even coming here this morning. I guarantee it. There's probably some things that came up. Something came up that seemed legit. Seemed legit. And the devil says, "You know what? Just stay home today." But you fought through it and said, "No, I need to be here today." Hallelujah. Just saying. Amen. And so what happens is Peter gets his eyes off of Jesus and gets his eyes on the waves, and the Bible says he began to sink. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Did anybody here ever jump at a swimming pool before? Anybody here ever jump in the water before? I don't care, you know. Did you begin to sink or did you sink? I know the last time I jumped off a side of a pool or something, it's been a while. But I immediately was, within a split second, I was under the water. But this is not what happened to Peter. He didn't just go, whoo, you know what I mean? A big splash of water came up. It says he began to sink. He began to sink. So that means he got lower and lower. So another ankle high, knee deep, waist deep. So it was a process. Now that's still miraculous right there. He's still walking in the supernatural, but to a limited degree. And it's important for us to realize you can walk in the supernatural, but then you can begin to waver and then you begin to sink. But you're still in the supernatural. Okay? Peter got his eyes off of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He got his eyes on the natural and he began to sink. To the point where he felt overwhelmed and he cried out and said, Lord, save me, help me. And Jesus, thank God, reached down and pulled him up. Now he's back up on the water. And then they walk into the boat together. So he began to sink, but then he got right back up. He got back up. Now he's arm in arm with Jesus and they're walking to the boat. And as soon as they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Why? Because the devil is the one that brought that wind and that wave, that circumstance, whew, you know, like the three little pigs, going to huff and puff and blow your house down. Remember that growing up? And that's the way the devil is. He says, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff. I'm going to blow your house down. Okay? I'm going to cause your house. I'm going to cause you to get sick and die. Okay? These are all idle threats of the devil. But the devil always comes with fear. And that's why doubt and fear are twins, two tormenting twins, doubt and fear. Jesus said to Peter, wherefore did you doubt? So doubt cut him short of God's highest and best. What was God's perfect will in this situation? Did he get out of the boat and he walked to Jesus, turn around, come back to the boat, and nothing gets wet. Nothing gets wet. Amen? That was the perfect will of God. But Peter did something that short-circuited God's power from working on his behalf. And what is that? And we're talking about trust here this morning, okay? We're talking about increase, but how do we get increase in our lives? Trust. Trust. Now, I'll just refer to this, but Psalm 125, verse 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, that abides continually and will never be removed. So when you trust the Lord, you're going to be like a mountain that just can't be removed. Bless God. Now, there's so many different ways, you know, folks, that we can go with this morning that are just amazing to me, that Peter did something sometimes that you and I do, and that is we get our eyes. And we've all been there and all done that, okay? We're not throwing any rocks or stones this morning. But we've all done that. You can start out trusting God, and then Sister Bucket Mouth comes along. Or Brother Big Mouth, whatever, you know. And they're Christians, but they say something to you that shipwrecks your faith. Well-meaning people can say things to you, and you're not even realized, well, maybe you do, but they're controlled by a spirit of fear. Yeah. Now, honey, you better watch it. I know someone that did that, and they died. I know someone that trusted God, and they died. Well, you don't know their heart, what was in their heart. Are you with me now? And sometimes we got to say this from the podium sometimes because it's so important that you don't want to be bear, or be it, give your ears to stuff that's going to cause you to doubt and to cause you to fear. And sometimes, even from pulpits across America, there are things that come across that bring a spirit of fear rather than a spirit of faith. And we have to be very careful what we hear. There's some preachers through, they're not calling names, but I've had to actually shut them off because what they're sharing is motivated by a spirit of fear. And I will say this, to take a step even further, when it comes to the end times, be very careful who you listen to about what's going to happen on planet Earth. Because the devil wants to bring a spirit of fear, like we're all going to get the mark of the beast, you know? And this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, you know, and tragedy and so forth. And, you know, and a lot of the movies depict that as well. And let me tell you something. The character of God is that He always takes care of His own. He always takes care. When Noah's flood came, God warned the people, gave them plenty of time to make changes. And the only people that had their hearts right with God was Noah and his family. There was eight of them altogether. Noah and his three sons and three wives and his wife. Eight people. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When judgment came on the earth, God prepared an ark. Hallelujah. It took them a long time to build, over 100 some years to build that ark. Praise God. Amen. Build that ark. And that ark was the place of the rapture for them. That ark was their rapture. And when judgment came, they got in the boat and they were lifted above the judgment. Don't you know those animals were thankful?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting about that. I love those encounters and stories about Noah and so forth. And I'm telling you, the Bible says Noah didn't go out there and chase the animals and get a whip out, you know, trap them. There was no traps. The Bible says God spoke to the animals and the animals came in two by two into the ark. Now, don't you know, if God can tell an animal to go into an ark, He can tell people to come to our church.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that when judgment came and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, that's a type of judgment. Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Something about that number. And when judgment came, they were lifted above. Not one hair on their head perished. And so the entire human race started out again after the flood, after the waters receded, you know, and they were on the mountains of Ararat and they came out and they began to multiply. And that they were like the new Adam and Eve on the earth. Okay? But the point I'm trying to make is this, is when judgment came, they were spared from that. Amen. Now listen, in the New Testament, the Bible says that God has not appointed us for wrath. Amen. Talking about the tribulation, the 7 years of judgment upon this earth. Now I wasn't even planning on talking about this morning, but I feel led to mention this. This is considered the wrath of God upon the earth, upon the ungodly. And the Bible says that God has not appointed us for wrath or judgment, but for salvation, for deliverance. Amen? And if you read over in Thessalonians, the letters to the church, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says that there's going to come a time when the trumpet will blow. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that went to heaven before us, they're going to get a resurrected body, a body before us, just a split second before us. And then it says, we which are alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up. That's the word where we get rapture. Now, you don't find the word rapture in the New Testament, but it's referring to being caught up is. Okay? And so there's other examples in the Bible about people being raptured. Jesus was raptured. Remember that? Jesus was raptured. Enoch was raptured. Elijah was raptured. Caught up. The clearest example that I find in the New Testament is when Jesus, you know, in Luke chapter 24, I believe it is, when he appeared after his resurrection, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's standing there talking to them, a resurrected Jesus. And they were worshiping him. They were giving glory to God. And all of a sudden, a cloud came down and Jesus began to ascend. He began to rise like a hot air balloon. Amen? I remember when I was a kid, my parents, when those balloons that you know, would float first came out, my parents got me this balloon. And I mean, I was so excited. I was just a 5 or 6 year old. I remember this distinctly. And I got that balloon. I'm holding that thing. We went outside. And somehow it slipped through my fingers. I cried like you wouldn't believe. I remember that. Never been the same since. But this balloon going, whew, and all of a sudden, before you know it, that thing is as high as the clouds to me. It looked like it just went up there, you know. Let me tell you something. Jesus was standing there. And it says he began to rise up. So he was caught up. He was raptured up. And the angel that was there said, he said, this same Jesus shall return in like manner. Okay? Now the Bible says, it doesn't say we're caught up in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. It says we're changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah. So your natural immortal body becomes, mortal body becomes immortal in a twinkling, instant like that. But we're not caught up in the twinkling of an eye. We're raptured. Okay, they stood there and they kept looking up. So he didn't go like a spaceship, go, whew, where'd he go? They actually saw him go up. I believe this is exactly how when the rapture takes place, Jesus is our front runner, our example. And I believe that's how we will be raptured. I mean, just stop and think about it. The trumpet blows and you get caught up and all your ungodly friends and neighbors are standing there. And you looked and I said, I've been telling you about this and you didn't want to hear it. Hallelujah. Bye. So we're talking about trust. And if there's a messenger of, we have to be real careful because you can present Bible truths with a spirit of fear and put people in fear and guilt and condemnation. And that's never, never God. The Bible says that we're to, you know, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And Paul went on to say, comfort one another with these words. Read the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians today when you get home and you'll see what I'm talking about. He said, comfort them. Yeah. Don't torment them. Yeah. But the way some people portray the end times is this, all this junk is going to happen. There's going to be junk that's going to happen. But you know what? God has not appointed you and me for wrath. He's called us to be caught up with Him. Hallelujah. So I think it's really important that when Jesus shows up, He eliminates and He eradicates fear. Now, a lot of times before, Christians can receive healing for your physical body. A lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, the thing that you have to deal with first and foremost is a spirit of fear. That's the thing you have to deal with. What's the worst fear that a person has? Dying. But if you understand as a believer, you don't die. You've already done all the dying you're going to do. Did you know that? Amen. The Bible says you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right, I can tell by the look on some of your faces. You better explain that, Pastor Keith. Well, your old sin nature, when you came to Jesus, the Bible says it died and you became a new man in Christ. And the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So it's a very quick transition. When you die, you won't even know it. It'll be like I'm standing here, now I'm standing right here. Okay? And I know testimonies of people that have, you know, had out-of-body experiences when they left their body and they came back. You know, some of them floated above their body and operating. They looked down and said, my God, that's me down there. But wait, I'm here. And the separation from their spirit, from their body. But their spirit is fully alert of what's going on. Are you with me now? Now, those people, every single one of those people that were believers, that left their body, I might do a series on that sometime, as the Lord directs us. But every one of those people that left their body that were believers said that they experienced the most unbelievable, in their words, peace and that they've ever felt before. Peace beyond words. Peace so thick that you could cut a chunk out and take it home. It was that thick, the peace. Never on the earth had they experienced that peace before. And when a Christian leaves their body, they immediately experience it. They're not like, oh God, what happened to me? Okay? But if you're on the earth and you don't know that, and you're not instructed and you're not taught correctly, the Bible says he destroyed him in Hebrews that had the power over the death, that is the devil. You've already done all the dying you're going to do. So basically it's moving from one place to the other, just like that. Praise God. So if you can get rid of the fear of death, okay, the devil can't control you. He cannot control you. So no matter what kind of report you have with your physical body, if fear has been dealt a blow, the devil has no power over you. Well, back in the Garden of Eden, you know, when the Lord told Adam and Eve, he said, you know, that this tree belongs to me, you know. Do not eat of this tree. Remember that? Well, they were given specific instructions. In other words, that tree was the tithe that belonged to God. Okay? The Lord said, all these other trees, thousands of trees in the garden, he goes, you can partake of that. But of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, he goes, that belongs to me. Praise the Lord. Well, immediately after that happened, Satan came, Lucifer came, and devoured the body of a serpent. Okay? Now, before the fall, it must not have been a big deal for animals to talk and to communicate before the fall. Because they didn't act surprised, like, dear, did you see that, honey? Did you see that snake? You know, that's like that horse that talked, you know what I'm saying? It's Ed or something like that. You'd be like, look at that, you know? But the snake, the Satan, barred that body. And he spoke up and he says, and in essence, remember what he said to Adam? He said, nothing's going to happen to me. God's trying to hold something back from you. He goes, he knows that if you partake of this, you're going to be just like God's, you know? And so he put this information out there, suggesting. And we're not ignorant concerning Satan's devices. Satan just doesn't come in like you see in a horror flick. Bah! Fright. Satan is very cunning and crafty and sly, and he sounds religious, and he negotiates with your thinking. And that's how he functions, and that's how he operates. He slithers, very subtle. He's more subtle than any beast in the field. And the devil, through the body of the serpent, said to them, you know, God's trying to hold something back from you. Okay? He said, he knows that when you partake of this fruit, you're going to be just like God. And I want to ask you a question. Were they already made in the likeness and image of God? Mm-hmm. When God created Adam and Eve, they were already made in the likeness and the image of God. Yeah. They were already that way. Yes. But the devil tried to make them think they were missing out. Yeah. Now hear what I'm saying this morning. Yeah. Satan will always try to make you think you're missing out on something. When in fact you have everything that you need.
So good.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so this fear came over them and said, wow, we are missing out. And that's when they began to partake of this. Now, my point is this. The devil will always challenge God's word. When you step out in faith and you believe what thus saith the word of God is. See, God has called us to pastor a church that fills people with the Word of God. Amen? That's what my call is primarily, is to get the revelation of the Word of God into our hearts and into our minds, and you become dangerous to the enemy. Amen. That's what God's looking for in these last days. He's not just looking for a church to entertain people and jump through the hoop and sound fancy and all this kind of stuff. Okay? Now, I'm all about being relevant. Okay? But never to the point where you compromise the Word of God.
That's right. Amen.
You never, ever compromise the Word of God. Because if you compromise the Word of God. Now, I know people that are in extremely large ministries that are full of fear. Now, I'm not saying this is about every big ministry. I'm not saying that. Hear my heart. But if a person is only hearing things that tickle their ears, and they're not hearing the Word of God, the Word of faith, when the trials or the crisis of life comes to that person, they have no leg to stand upon spiritually. There's no Word. There's no foundation. And so I've watched people get so full of fear when they're believers, Spirit-filled, talking in tongues, and they're full of fear. Doesn't have to be that way. Amen. I tell you, I want to see us, all of us here, I want to get us so pumped up with the Word of God. Amen. When we come into these meetings like this, we get that Word, the revelation of the Word inside of our hearts. You start to overcome those obstacles and things in your life. And when fear comes against you, boy, I tell you, it just, if I say what I'm going to say, you know what I'm talking about. The news media, the media itself, is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. And, you know, what's the name of that channel we like to watch? That's No, not that one. The movies. What's it called? What's that called? Yeah, Hallmark, okay. You ever see a Hallmark channel? Well, there's some decent stuff on there, you know what I mean? There's some good family-oriented stuff on there. But the commercials are from the pit of hell. Thank God we like to record them. We can fast forward through that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Did you notice? I'm like, doggone it. Every single commercial that comes on there is about the newest drug and its effects upon you. Pushing their drugs. Drug pushers on TV. Never liked that when I was growing up. Because they control the pharmaceutical industry. They control the money big time. Okay? I'm not saying don't take your medicine. I'm not saying that at all. Please, understand. But they're propagating fear. And I mean, when they list the side effects, they go, they pick that, they must speed his voice up about three times as much. One of the side effects, you may prematurely die. But you'll get rid of that arthritis. Your right arm might fall off, but you'll have at least one arm left. You know what I'm saying? Your nose might fall off, but you'll be okay. I'm paraphrasing, you know. And half of this stuff, you can't even say it. Like, what's the name of that thing? You know, it's just crazy. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Is what are we hearing and what are we seeing? What are we hearing? What are we seeing? Fear-related things. You might have this. I mean, I looked at my email the other day, and this little thing popped up on the side, and it says, you might have heart disease if you have these symptoms. And it shows your feet. I think, and I said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. But people say, oh, I need to check that out.
Yeah, that's so true.
I need to check that out. Yeah. Be careful. Listen very carefully here. Be really, really careful about research on the internet. Be very, very careful about that. Be very select, because I'm telling you, you will hear things. I mean, you could have something very minor dealing within your body, and you say, I'm going to Google this and find out what's going on here, you know? And all of a sudden, boom, this pops up. Boom, this pops up. And you're like, dear God, maybe this is worse than I thought. Have you ever done that before? Click. In the last days, and now it's always been this way, but the Lord always comes. And I'm telling you, even if you're teaching on the end times or judgment and things like this, always remember this, We have to teach it, and it has to be explained, and it has to be communicated with a spirit of love and a spirit of hope and a spirit of faith. Because God will never leave you hopeless. He will never leave you hanging out there like, oh God, what am I going to do? He always gives you hope, and He gives you peace, and He gives you an expected end. Okay? And I feel like in my heart today that the Lord is bringing to us to know and reassure us as believers here today, whether it's your first time here or your 50th time here, it doesn't matter. That God wants to reassure you today that He has your number. He is going to take care of you. He wants to give you a long life on this earth. Psalm 91 says, with long life will I satisfy Him and show my salvation. Long life, long, strong life. What time is it here? We just got a couple of minutes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, I certainly got off of my notes this morning here this morning. I'll tell you that right now. Holy Father, let's just thank Him right now. We praise You, we praise You, we praise You right now. We worship You, we praise You, we bless You, we thank You. We love You, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus. All right, thank You for that, Lord. Now, when you say these words, you don't have to say it right now, but when you get up in the morning, and I try to do this not every morning, not every single morning, but throughout the day as well. I'll say it as much as I need to. And I say this, Father, I trust You today. I trust You today with my family. And you fill in the blank, you know. I trust You today with my health. I trust You today with my finances. Amen. I trust You today, Lord, with my future. I trust You today, Lord, with our church. Amen. And when I do that, sometimes I'll do it over and over and over again because it does something for me. It reinforces. It's like taking a nail and you hit it. Well, how many of you know you have to keep pounding that nail in? Then a few hits and that thing goes in all the way. The first time it might be partially in, but when you say something over and over again, you say, I trust You, Lord. I trust You, Lord. I trust You, Lord. And you got pain in your body. And you got a doctor's report. That's just the wind and the wave. That is just the wind and that's just the wave. That's not the real deal. Okay? Listen, symptoms can come and symptoms can go, you know. And don't be looking for, I'm believing God for the right doctor's report. Our faith is not in the doctor's report. Amen. Our faith is in God's Word. Amen. Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed our report? Our faith isn't what Doc says. We give him respect and so forth, but we don't put our faith in that. Our faith is in the name of the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. Our faith is in the Word of God. And when our faith is in the Word of God, we can't sink. We cannot go under. How many times has the enemy lied to your mind and said, you're going under this time. You're not going to last this time. You're not going to make it this time. You're not going to have enough money this time. And those thoughts come bombarding your mind, right? But what do? You ignore that and you put your focus and your attention on the Word of the living God. Hallelujah. See, it's not just like a matter of an ostrich. You stick your head in the sand, as they say, and just go about your business, you know. You ignore one thing, but you put your attention on something else. It's not just a matter of ignoring. You don't just ignore the symptoms, but you put your attention on the Word of God. When you put your attention on the Word of God and you say what the Word of God says, then that's what's going to sustain you. That, just like Peter walking on the water, you're going to rise up. You're going to rise up. I'm amazed sometimes of time wouldn't permit us the amount of testimonies that I've heard from people that have been in dire straits, and I mean deadly situations, where they were given up to die. I mean, just a matter of days, minutes before they're gone. But it's never too late with Jesus. It's never too late with Him. And when I say, like, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord, man, I never get bored of saying, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord, for this, I trust you for that, I trust you today, I trust you. And all of a sudden, just bring up one more scripture, Isaiah 26:3, and we'll close right here. And I want you to see this, Isaiah 26:3. All right, you ready? Thou, or God says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Look at verse 4. Ye trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now go back to the third verse for a second. See the word perfect peace right there? Now, that in the English, in the King James translation, says perfect peace. But actually, you know what's interesting about this? In the Hebrew, the word perfect and the word peace are the same exact Hebrew words. Guess what word that is? Shalom. And it says, God will keep us in shalom, shalom, whose mind is fixed and stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You see, I can trust God when my mind is stayed on him. Hallelujah. In just a few minutes here, we'll be leaving here. And you'll be getting in your car, going home, whatever you have to do, you know, throughout this week. And there's going to be thoughts that are going to try to enter into your thinking that are against God's word. That's not a prophecy. It's just the way it is in this world. You'll have a thought that will come to you. At that point, you have a choice to say, that's not my thought. I reject that thought in the name of Jesus. Because if my mind is stayed on God, I'm going to have peace. And the word shalom is not just, you know, like the way the Hebrews and the Israelites said hello, shalom. Although they do. But the word, we did a series 2 years ago called Shalom in Your Home, if you remember that. It's still on our website. Shalom simply means this. It's made up of two Hebrew words, and it means this: wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. That means there's nothing missing in your life, nothing broken, no sickness, no disease, no lack, nothing. Shalom, it means wholeness. Amen. Wholeness. And it says, God will keep us in shalom, shalom. Yeah. If what? Our minds are stayed, fixed, trusting in the Lord. So in conclusion today, students, here's your homework assignment. Okay? We learn in church, don't we? Learn to guard your thinking. Guard your mind. Do not, just like when you guard your house, do you lock your house when you leave your house? You lock your vehicle? Okay. How many of you lock your house when you leave your house? If you're, okay. Why? Because there are intruders that would love to get into your place. And so you put the lock on it so you keep intruders out of your house. We understand that in the natural. We do that. It's not even, don't even have to think twice about it. We just do it. It's a no-brainer, as they say. Well, when it comes to our locking our minds against the thoughts of the devil, sometimes we keep all the doors open, all the windows open, all the locks open. We're like, where'd that thought come from? Listen, you have to control. You are the one responsible for your thought life. I can't control that. I wish I could control other people's thought life, don't you? Amen? Wouldn't that be a, but you can't. Even God can't control your thought life. You are the custodian over your thoughts. And that's why the Bible says, cast down every imagination, every thought that it disagrees with the Word of God. Amen? And you go out of this place today in a negative thought, a fear-filled thought. Satan, how do you know when the devil's talking to you? Fear's talking to you. Fear, Satan is the spirit of fear. And when he's talking, you feel fear every time. Make no mistake about it. When God's talking to you, it's just the opposite. You have peace and safety and hope. going to work out. God's going to work this out. He's going to work it out. Amen. He's going to take care of my body. Oh, yeah, He's going to take good care of my body. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and I say, I have health over my body in Jesus' name. I have health over my body. I'm getting better. I'm not getting worse. I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting stronger each week. My body's getting healthier each week. That's a spiritual law. It's not just power of positive thinking. No, it's a spiritual law. Things are getting better for me. And you'd say that to yourself. Things are getting better for me each week. Sometimes as a point of reference in conversation, people say, well, you know how it is. Stuff happens. Right? And if you're in the world, it's a four-letter word. Okay? Stuff happens. Well, Christians ought not be saying that. We should be saying, blessings happen to me today. Blessings are overtaking me today. Everywhere I go, I have favor with God and with people today. I'm telling you, I'm getting healthier by the day. My immune system is getting stronger and stronger each and every day. Amen? Amen. My heart, my lungs, my brain, it's getting stronger every day. And you begin to say what God says. There won't be any room for the devil to get in your thought life. No room at all. What's it said of Jesus? It said, the prince of this world cometh, but he finds no place in me. Did Jesus meditate on the lies of the devil? They came at him. He was tempted in all points, but he didn't embrace those thoughts and he didn't think those thoughts. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now get on an airplane. Lynn always says, lay your hands on that plane. Okay? And you're walking down that ramp, you know, you got a couple of seconds to, you know, slap your hands on that plane. Well, that's not one we'd pray. I pray before that. But I always say this. Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. That means I intend on taking off and landing safely. Amen? Praise God. The devil's not going to take me down in a plane crash. Amen? The devil's not going to take us out with some crazy sickness or disease. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 may fall at your right hand with disease and sickness, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see it happen. But it won't happen to you because your trust is in the Lord. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High God, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, and dragon. Thou shalt trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me. I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show my salvation. That whole Psalm 91 is about trust. I will save the Lord. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him do I what? There's that word. In Him I trust. Trust, 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 trust. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.